the word of God that strengthens and sustains us. We love you, God, and we appreciate all you're going to do in us and all you have done in us. Father, we thank you now for clarity of thought and precision of speech, allowing my tongue to be as the pen of a ready writer, and the hearts today of the hearers would be that I should write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe. Father, we thank you that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. Father, we thank you, Lord, at this moment of worship and intimacy, you have cleansed us and made us whole. Father, we thank you for all that you're going to do in this service. And when you've done it, after you've saved and delivered and healed and done all you want to do, Lord God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, the praise. And we'll join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy, God. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name, we thank you now. Amen. And amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, or a tag for this message on this morning, from the pit to praise. Amen. From the pit to praise. On the Lord, why do we need patience? We have to understand that the Bible says to let patience have her perfect work. Remember that. And why? Because we want to be entire and not lack anything. And in order for us to be entire and not to have lack is that we have to have patience. And if patience is a her, that means we have to have faith, which is a him that produces the promise. Oh, Lord, help me today. When faith and patience come together, it produces the promises of God. Amen. And so let patience have her perfect work. Don't hurry, God. Don't try to rush the things that God has in store for you. You know, one thing I like about God is that sometimes he'll show you what he has in store for you. He'll show you, he'll give you something in a dream or a vision or give you a notion that something's going to happen, but he does not tell you that a lot of stuff is going to happen in between that. He doesn't tell you that somebody's going to lie on you. He don't tell you that sometimes you might be broke. Amen. He doesn't tell you that sometimes people are going to talk about you, put you down. Sometimes you may go without. He doesn't tell you that, but one day you're going to get to the place where he promised that you would be. Oh, hallelujah. We have to understand that even in patience, how do I get patience? Patience comes by tribulation. I know some of you been praying for patience, but guess what? You can't get patience unless you go through a trial. The Bible says that tribulation does what? Work patience. And patience what? Experience. In other words, it builds my character. I learn how to be patient and wait on the Lord. The more I go through, I learn that it don't help me to complain. Some of us ought to quit complaining. We complain. Instead of complaining, move from the complaint window and go to the claims window. Even though I don't have it yet, I know I claim what God said I can have. I'm the lender, not the borrower. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm what God says I am. We have to look and let patience have a perfect work, and tribulation work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And we have not a hope that maketh us not ashamed. I wish I had somebody. We got to understand that part of that scripture, because what that is saying is that we have faith and hope in God, who will not disappoint us. God will not disappoint us if we trust in him. If we believe in him, there's no way that he'll let us down. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah. So even if I am in the pit, and even if it does look pitiful in my life, even though I'm in a predicament that seemed to be unfavorable, I still know that God will not let me down, and he won't leave me here. Amen. Amen. And so when we look at that, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Do you know if God hears you, he's going to help you? He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord inclined. He bent down to hear what I was trying to say. I got the Lord's ear with my cry. I wish I had somebody. In other words, he was telling us that not only when you're in the pit do you need to have the right position and be patient, but you need to learn how to be prayerful. Preach. We need to learn how to be prayerful. He prayed and the Lord heard him. You know, one thing about prayer is that we got to understand that God will not hear you if you regard iniquity in your heart. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, God can't hear you. Come on and say, man, we got to remove bitterness. We got to remove unforgiveness from our heart so that God can hear our prayers. And if God hears, he can't. David was going through a situation. Here he was, had been good to Saul. Here he was, put his life on the line many times for this same man. And here he was on the run from the same person that he had helped. David had to forgive that man in order for God to hear him. I wish I had somebody. Oh, we got to understand God wants us to forgive just like he's forgiven us. And when we forgive, then God can hear our prayers. A lot of times we get in situations we're not prayerful. We're ready to faint. We're ready to throw in the towel. We're ready to give up. Come on and say, man. But we got to get to a place that we're not going to give up and faint, because Jesus said man ought to always pray and not to faint. I don't know about you, but I'm going to pray to the last hour. I'm going to pray till I can't pray no more. I'm going to pray. You know what? Even if I remember listening to Reverend Jasper Williams. It was Leo Daniels that said that he had lost his voice because he sang with the Soul Stirrers and the Lord told him to go preach. He lost his voice and couldn't speak. And he laid up in that hospital bed. He said, and I told the Lord, he said, you know what? I told the Lord in my heart, he said, I'm so thankful that you don't have to have a voice to pray. He said, I didn't have to have my voice to pray, but when the Lord heard me, then the Lord heard me say, Lord, I'll do your will. He gave me my voice back, and he preached for many years and sang for many years after that. But what we have to understand is that we need to be prayerful, and that's why we ought to always pray and not to faint. I may not be able to get on my knees all the time. I may not be able to stop and lift my hands up all the time, but my mind is open unto God. My heart is always talking to him so that he will hear my prayer. Come on and say amen here. We have to be prayerful. David said, I prayed and he inclined his ear and he heard me. And when he heard me, when God hears you, he's going to deliver. And look at what he says in verse 2. And he brought me up also out of the horrible pit. Now, when God heard him, he must have prayed about some other stuff, because he said also. So whatever God done for him on that, God helped him while he was in. But then while he was saying, God, help me while I'm going through this. And see, some of us, we want God to bring us out of stuff when God said, I need you to stay in it just a little while longer, because there's some stuff I need to teach you while you're in the pit. I need to teach you how to be obedient while you're in the pit. I need to teach you how to pray while you're in the pit. I need to teach you how to rely on me while you're in the pit. But David said, after that, he also brought me up out of the horrible pit. He was in a horrible place. Anybody ever been in a horrible place? You ever been in a place that you really didn't want to be in? You ever been in a situation that seemed that it was so horrible that, look at here, God, if it not for you, God, I won't come out of this thing. Oh, come on and say amen. He said he brought me up out of the horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. Now let me tell you something about the miry clay. The clay that he's talking about is the kind of clay that when I grew up in the brickyard, we had clay. If you dig so far down, you had clay. And when you put a post in the ground, I remember working with my grandfather. We was trying to take up a fence post out of. He told us take that fence post up and move it out the way we're gonna move this gate. And we was trying to get that thing out. We had rocked it. We had dug around it. We had rocked it and everything else. And it seemed loose, but there was a suction on it. Even though it was loose and you could pull it up, it was a suction on it. You had to really exert to try to get it out of that clay. Come on and say amen. And all I'm saying is that when God picks you up out the miry clay, he's saying that there's some things that has a hold on you. Some things that have you, even though you're free, you're rocking free, you feel like you're loose from it, but then it still has a suction on you and it's holding you down and keeping you from coming out of that situation. It may be alcoholism. It may be drug addiction. It may be some other addiction. It may be lying or whatever the case is, but it has a hold on you. Something in your flesh that won't allow you to just come out of your situation, that has a hold on you. God will pick you up out of the mire. You can't pick yourself up. You can't get out of the mire by yourself. You have to have God. Man can't pull you out of the mire. God has to pull you out of the mire. David said, I went from the mire into the choir. Do I have anybody in here? He said he picked me up out of the mire. I stopped sinking and I start standing. He said, and put my feet on a rock. Oh, look at the progression that God did. He picked me up out of the pit. But even though I came out of the pit, that something still had a hold of me. And he said, I progressed from the pit to the mire. And he set my feet upon a what? Rock. He gave me a solid rock and established my goings. Look at this. He put me up and he established my goings. In other words, I was standing still, sitting there in the pit, wanting somebody to feel sorry for me. But now God has delivered me from the pit and he put me on a rock. And then he allowed me to be able to, he said, establish my goings. He allowed me to be able to take some steps now. I wish I had somebody. He allowed me to get some progression in my life. He said, now I'm stepping because I'm in the steps of a good man or what? Ordered by the Lord. He delighted in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, God, even though you fall, nobody will see you fall. Preach. He said, even though he fall, he won't be utterly cast down. It's just like a person walking with a baby and dragging the baby along, and the baby trips and falls, but the baby never touches the ground because somebody has the baby hand. I wish I had somebody. In other words, God won't let you fall because he has your hand. God won't let you fall because he's not going to let people look at you while you're down. He's going to pick you up. I wish I had somebody. Some of us been complaining about being in the pit, and we wish somebody come get us out of the pit. God said, I don't want to let nobody see you in the pit. I want to pull you out of the pit before they get here and put your feet on. I wish I had a few people in here. Do I have five on this side and five on that side? We can have some church in here that God has pulled me out of the pit. He didn't let somebody look down on me while I was in there. He didn't let nobody shake their head and say, oh boy, that's a pretty bad pit. You know how some people, they don't want to go in the pit with you. I wish I had somebody here, but thanks be to God, he don't need a rope to pull me out of the pit. He don't need a cable to pull me out of the pit. I don't have to have a lanyard to get out of the pit. No lifeline. All I need is faith, and God can pick me up out of the pit and turn my life around. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says that he established my goings, and verse 3 said that, and he had put a new song in my mouth. I'm almost done here. So we understand that he was in a position that seemed to be a bad predicament, but we understand that David said, be patient. He waited, what, patiently on the Lord, and then he was prayerful, and he had progression once God delivered him, but then he came to a place of praise. Oh, look at this. He came to a place of praise. Verse 3 through 5 tells us, and he had put a new song in my mouth, and even unto praise unto our God. He said he put a new song in my mouth. And we don't understand that sometime when God do stuff for you, you need to make a song out of it. Yeah. I remember when we were children, we made a song out of everything. I'm telling you, we couldn't even go to the store. We could, if we was going to stay with somebody, go and visit somebody, we sang all the way. We make a song out of any little thing because we were happy to be able to do it. And so now that we done got older, we don't want to sing no more. We worried about what people think we sound like. I ain't worried about what I sound like because I'm glad that God has blessed me. If you don't like the way I sound, so be it. You wasn't there when I was in the pit. And so you ain't got a right to talk about my praise. Preaching here. Come on. Tell somebody, you wasn't there when I was in the pit. So you don't have no business talking about my praise. It wasn't, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? If it wasn't for God, so don't talk about what I'm doing. I'm going to give God some praise. Matter of fact, if you don't like it on my pew, then we can move. Oh, come on and say, man, if you don't like how I'm praising God, then SOS. Scoot over some and let me give God what is due to him because he's been good to me. Ah, yeah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, we have to understand praise. Praise is what I do. Praise, the Bible says, is comely for the upright. When you're right with God and when you understand that he's blessed your life, you ought to give him some praise. We can't be sitting back and letting, I don't even know nobody, no rocks going to cry out for me. I'm not going to let somebody praise my God who blessed me. Oh, come on and say, man, when I see them praising, I'm going to praise too. That's what David said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He was going to praise God. Oh, come on. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. If I praise him, you ought to want to praise him too. You ought not let me beat you praising God. Come on and say, man, I know we ought not be in competition, but that's something, that's a good competition. Who can praise God without stopping? Who can praise God and give him glory all day long? Come on and say, man, I can give God praise, and I hope that it'll provoke you to give God praise too. Some, the world don't want to praise God. The world think it's unnecessary to do what we're doing. The world think that this is foolishness, but thanks be to God. He said, by the foolishness of preaching, oh, come on and say, man, he saves us. He said that we got to learn how to praise God. We must believe that God is going to bless us, and be, we can't wait for the blessing to come. We have to praise God before the blessing arrives. In other words, you got to dance in advance. Oh, yeah, my praise is a down payment on whatever's next for me in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. You got to praise your way through it. Verse 3 continues to say, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Look at this. David said that they're going to see me praising God because they knew I went in the pit, but now they're going to see me out of the pit. And when they see me, they're going to know if it hadn't been for the Lord. When they see me, they're going to know that it was God on my side. When they see me, they're going to know that the power of God was the one that delivered me and nobody else, because I'm going to make sure that they don't understand that they don't get the credit, but God gets all the glory. Oh, hallelujah. God gets the glory. He said that he said in verse number 4, he said, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respect not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. He said that blessed is the man that trusts in God, not all this other stuff. He said that don't turn aside to lies, because you know what? A man lie to you and tell you they're going to help you, but God, the Bible says, not man that he should lie. Not the son of man that he should what? Repent. We got to understand that. We got to see here. He says that blessed is the man, happy is the man, and fortunate is the man that make the Lord his trust. What I want to ask the question is, can we trust God when we can't trace him? I can't see his hand moving, but I know that he's going to make this thing all right in my life. I can't see what he has in store for me next, but I know that if I can just hold on and stand right here and see the salvation of the Lord, that he'll deliver me and he'll make a way out of no way. He'll open doors that's been closed in my face. And guess what? When they shut the door, the Bible said he'll open up windows and pour me out a blessing that he don't have room enough to receive. Y'all with me this morning? Oh, hallelujah. He says that in verse 5, and many, O Lord, my God, are thy wondrous works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. Oh, look at this. He's saying that there's so many blessings that the Lord has blessed us with. Oh, we ought to be praising God right there. That he said, I can't even count them. You know, I know we used to sing that song, count your many blessings, one by one, all that. We can't count how many blessings God has given us. This morning, I can't even count. The one that's fresh on my mind is that he woke me up this morning. But he's done more than that since I've been up this morning. And you know what? While I was sleeping, slumbering, the Bible says that the Lord don't sleep nor slumber. So who do you think it was that watched over you all night? Oh, come on and say amen. So we have to rejoice at that which God has already done for us. David said, the Lord has been good to me, and I can't count all the stuff that he's done for me. I wish I could, but I can't. He said, my mind can't fathom all the things that God has done. I can't name them. I can't write them down. If you can write your blessings down, oh, something wrong with you, because it ain't enough paper for me to write blessings that God has done for me in my life. I don't have enough paper. Look, I can't type it. I don't have enough memory on the hard drive to put all the stuff that God has done for me. Do I have any witnesses? I don't care. I can have 20 gigabytes and still it can't contain the stuff that God has done for me. And so I'm going to give God praise while I still have time. Oh, come on and say amen. So many of us, we won't praise God until we see something significant. What about the small things God has done for you? What about how God opened your eyes this morning and told you that that it's going to be all right. He put joy in your heart, gave you peace in your mind. Do I have any witnesses? Oh, come on and say amen here. We take a lot of stuff for granted. We have loved ones that we take for granted, but God blessed you with the loved ones that you have. So we ought to be grateful for what God has done. We got to learn how to give God praise. When we learn how to praise God, we'll feel better. So many people are down because they don't want to praise God. I was trying to encourage somebody one time, and they were saying, yeah, I hear you, but I don't want to hear that right now. I said, well, you don't want to get no better, because if you don't think about what God is doing in your life and how bad it could be worse. Oh, come on and say amen. Like I said last week, we complain that we don't have certain shoes, but what about the person who has no feet to use? We need to start realizing that we are blessed. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Oh, come on and say amen. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. If you hope in the Lord and you trust in God, there is no way that you won't walk around blessed. There is no way that God won't open up some doors for you. There is no way that God won't bless your life if you trust in him. God is not to be mocked. And you know what else? I found out that I didn't understand when I was a boy. They sung this song, you can't beat God given no matter how you try. But when I got older, I found out that if you try to beat him given, he's going to always outdo you. And somebody say amen here. So every time I tried to do what I thought was a lot, God said, I can do a lot more than that, son. Every time I did something I thought was great, God said, I got something even greater. Oh, come on and say amen in here. We got to understand that God is looking for somebody to bless. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth, seeking one that he can prove himself strong to. Do I have any people in here today that say, I want God to prove himself strong? I want God to roll up his sleeves and show me his muscle. Do I have any witnesses? Come on and say hallelujah. I'm almost done here. He said that we need to praise God. He said that I found out in verse number 5. He said, I declare and speak of them, and they are more than can be numbered. Many times we don't want to tell nobody what God has done for us. We don't want to talk about how good God has been. We're embarrassed in front of the world to say that if it hadn't been for the Lord, where would we be? We're embarrassed to let them know that I serve a good God. We're too ashamed to let them know that I'm on the Lord's side because we're afraid of what they might think of us. I don't care what you think of me. What they think of me was before I knew the Lord. They thought I was no good. But thanks be to God, God turned my life around. Oh, come on and say amen here. You know, they can't pay no bills for me. They can't help me when I'm sick. So why do I care what they have to say anyway? If I was down, they wouldn't help me up. But if it hadn't been for the Lord, do I have any people in the house that say, I don't care what people think about me? Oh, come on and say amen here. I'm going to give God the praise that he's due. I'm going to lift him up. I wish I had somebody. Then the last thing that I want you to see that God has done for us is that he came and he hung, bled, and died. That he gave his only begotten son because he loved us so much. I wish I had somebody that said that, thank you, Lord, for giving your only begotten son. But Jesus died on the cross, but the Bible said he died until the sun refused to shine. But he didn't stay dead, because early that Sunday morning he got up with all power in his hand. That's all right, I got this. God has taken us from the pit to praise. So you don't understand what God has done for you. He's taken you from a place of pitifulness where people have talked about you and said you ain't no good, that you don't have nothing. Look at her now. I wonder what her God is going to do for her now. Look like she can't do anything for herself. But thanks be to God, he took me out of the pit and gave me a place of praise. So I'm ever grateful about what the Lord has done for me. I'm ever grateful about how God been good to me. If I had 10,000 tongues, I'd praise him with everyone. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah at him. If it hadn't been for God been good to you, you wouldn't know what to do. He took you from the pit to a place of praise. In other words, I was down and out. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. When people wrote me off, then God wiped me off and he filled me up with his precious Holy Ghost. Do I have any witnesses here? Come on and shout hallelujah. Won't God fix it for you? Won't God make a
a way for you? Won't he make a way? Won't he open up doors that's been closed in your face? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? I say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? He'll take you out of the pit and give you a place of praise. He took Joseph out of the pit and he put him in the palace. He took Lazarus out of the pit and he put him at the table. Do I have anybody that say, I've been like Joseph? My brother's counting me out. I've been like Lazarus, been dead for a day. My situation was dead, but thanks be to God, when I moved the rock, he said, come forth, and I came out with power. I came out with life. Do I have anybody? Come on and shout yes. Come on, shout hallelujah. He'll take you from the pit and give you a place of praise. He put my feet on a rock. Now who is that rock? That rock is Jesus. I stand on the word. I stand on what God said. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. He tells us that there no weapon formed against us will prosper. Do I have any witnesses? He tells us that even if the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. While he's lifting, I'm saying, Lord, lift me. Lift me out of this pit. Help me through my trials. Help me through my troubles. I've been through the storm. I've been through the rain. I've had some heartaches. I even had some pain. But I thank you, Lord, that you picked me up. Turn my life around, because every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Say yes, say yeah. Ain't he all right? I say, ain't God all right? Do I have a church that know that the Lord will? He won't let you down. He won't leave you in the pit. He sees where you are, and God comes with you. You don't believe me? Let's ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown in the furnace, God came with them. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, by the way, that's a pit, the Lord went in with him, shut the mouth of the lion, and Daniel came out, said, O King, live forever. Do I have anybody that can say, O King, King Jesus, live forever? Say yes. Say yes. Won't he bless him? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Anybody here have any times in your life that if I can't say nothing, I'll say, won't he, won't he? See, your enemies don't know that if it hadn't been for God healing your body, won't he, won't he? If it hadn't been for God saving your soul, won't he, won't he? Won't he do it? If it hadn't been for God blessing you on the job, giving you that bonus, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes. If it hadn't been for God making you late and they had a wreck up the road, it was supposed to be you. But won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody know it? Anybody know it? I say, have you tried him? Is he all right? Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Come on, help me close. It's time for me to go. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, pastor told me to talk to you. He told me to ask you, how you doing? Since you're doing all right, I need to tell you something. God will pick you up out of the pit and put you in a place where you can praise him. Say yeah. Tell him, say yeah. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Tell your neighbor, one last thing, neighbor. I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yes. Say yes. Is he all right? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Give God a shout in here.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you.